Okay, let's get into it. Today we're doing a deep dive into just a really powerful story from the Vietnam War. It's all about sacrifice, a super dangerous rescue mission, and what we can actually learn from these incredibly high-stakes situations.
Really intense stuff.
The source material here is from a YouTube channel, Military Tales. It's their episode hashtag 73, focusing on events back in May 1972, the Siege of En Loc.
Right, a really critical time.
But our goal really is to unpack the key moments, the courage shown, and figure out what the story tells us about leadership, service, and just handling intense pressure.
Okay, so En Loc, May 72. You've got this town under siege by the North Vietnamese Army.
Yeah.
Brutal fighting, very conventional.
And U.S. air support was absolutely crucial, wasn't
Oh, totally vital,
it?
which meant,
Okay.
airdrops for supplies, medevacs, all flying into an area just thick with anti-aircraft fire.
Yeah.
Real hot zone.
And into that flies this AC-119 gunship, Stinger 41, daytime mission, which sounds extra risky.
Extremely risky. And, well, it gets hit. A 23-millimeter round takes out both engines on the right side, catches fire,
Oh, wow.
and it's coming down from about 4,000 feet.
So that's happening inside the aircraft at this point. Chaos, I imagine.
Complete chaos.
Yeah.
But the pilot, Captain Terence Courtney, the pilot in command, he does something extraordinary.
What was that?
He knows the plane is doomed. His priority shifts entirely to the crew. He orders them to bail out, but only below 1,500 feet
Why wait?
to give them the best chance. But he stays at the controls. He fights to keep that plane stable just long enough for them to jump.
Knowing what that meant for him.
Knowing it meant certain death, it was an incredible act of self-sacrifice. Seven guys managed to bail out
Right,
successfully.
Captain Courtney didn't make it.
No, Captain Courtney and two other crew members were lost. He was awarded the Air Force Cross posthumously for that heroism. Just amazing courage.
So now you've got seven survivors on the ground, enemy territory. What happens next? Urgency must have been off the charts.
Absolutely frantic. The
Yeah.
North Vietnamese had orders: take no prisoners.
Oh.
And critically, there was no capability for night pickups. Zero.
So it had to be done before sunset.
Had to be. A search and rescue or a SAR mission spins up immediately. You've got A-1 Sandy aircraft involved.
Like the one our source, Lamar Smith, was flying proud American, hashtag 738.
Exactly that one. And the HH-53 Jolly Green Giant helicopters, the clock is ticking. Loud.
What made the rescue itself so dangerous besides the time limit?
Well, the whole area was just saturated with threats. Small arms fire was effective up to around 3,000 feet, so even at altitude, you weren't totally safe.
And wasn't there a new threat around then, too?
Yes, the Strela missile. Shoulder fired, heat seeking, they'd just been introduced and were pretty deadly against the A1s initially.
How did they counter that?
They developed new tactics fast, like having a high wingman whose job was basically just to watch for the missile's smoke trail and call out warnings. Intense coordination was key. You even had forward air controllers, like the Sundog FAC, marking survivor spots with grease pencil right on his canopy.
Incredible. And the Sandys, like Lamar Smith's plane, they weren't just flying escort, right? They were more hands-on.
Oh, yeah, they were actively trolling for ground fire. That means flying low, sometimes with the canopy open, deliberately trying to get the enemy to shoot at them.
Why on earth would they do that?
To pinpoint the enemy positions. Once they knew where the fire was coming from, the Sandys could suppress it, clear the way for them helicopters.
And Lamar Smith, the source, mentions him wearing a long yellow scarf.
Yeah, quite the image. Flying low, scarf trailing. One of the survivors on the ground actually saw it and apparently thought he was being rescued by some kind of cowboy. Adds a real human touch, you know.
Definitely. So I read an army helicopter actually got one survivor out early on.
That's right. But it took so much damage in the process, it couldn't go back for the others. So six guys still down there.
And the sun is setting, the pressure.
Immense. But the teamwork, the coordination between the Sandys laying down fire and the Jolly Greens going in for the pickup, it was a textbook execution under fire.
How did they manage the final pickup?
They brought in two Jolly Greens. Working together, covering each other, they managed to winch up all remaining six survivors.
Just in time.
Literally. The last man was pulled aboard just as the sun dipped below the horizon. There's actually a photo later of the survivors with Smith's aircraft, proud American. Pretty powerful image.
And that plane itself, Proud American, hashtag 738, it has quite a story, doesn't it?
It does. Possibly the most decorated single airframe in Air Force history, involved in other major rescues. But focusing on Lamar Smith, the pilot from our source, what did this mission mean for him, looking back?
Yeah, what were his takeaways?
Well, He reflected on just how successful SAR missions generally were, something like an 85-90% success rate if they could actually make contact with the downed crew. But beyond the stats, he drew some really profound personal lessons from it all, things he carried forward.
Like that principle from ejection seat training. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, exactly. The idea of making one decision, not many. It means you decide before the crisis hits what you'll do under specific conditions. Like, if X happens, I will do Y.
So when the moment comes,
your decision is already made. No hesitation, no second guessing in the heat of the moment. It removes that paralysis of choice. He also talked about making a small correction early.
In flying or more broadly?
Both, really. Noticing when you're drifting off course, whether it's in navigation or, you know, in life, and making that small adjustment quickly before you get way off track.
And he connected these ideas to his life after the military.
Absolutely. He found a lot of meaning in service to others, working with places like Hope Farm, involved in ministry. He felt those wartime experiences, facing fear, mortality. They shaped his perspective on faith, on purpose. He even uses an analogy about facing heart surgery later in life, drawing parallels.
So when we look at this whole story, this deep dive, it's more than just recounting a historical event, isn't it?
Definitely. It's not just about the incredible sacrifice of Captain Courtney or the skill of the rescuers. It highlights these core principles. Courage, yes, but also calculated risk, teamwork, unwavering commitment.
And those lessons, like the one decision or the small correction, they seem really applicable even outside of a combat zone. Ways to navigate our own challenges, maybe make more purposeful choices.
Exactly. Which kind of leads to a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. How could applying a principle like one decision, not many, or focusing on making that small correction early help you handle the changes or challenges you might be facing right now?